Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Today's gospel message is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. You pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation and the inspiration, the thoughts within all of our hearts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength. And in you, O Lord, there is redemption. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, this is a third sermon in a series as we kick off this new year. And a series called Essential Christianity. Now, I'm quite aware that this is kind of a mundane kind of title for a series, but the idea is this. I've went through our, talk about dry things, our United Methodist Book of Discipline. And in our Book of Discipline, it has a little section there that talks about those things which all Christians have in common. And I thought, well, let's work on this. What is it that all Christians, regardless of adjective before Christian, we have in common? We started out the series talking about Jesus Christ as our Savior. Last week we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives and in the lives of the church, of the community of believers. And so here we are today. And this is our topic. We understand ourselves to be part of Christ's universal church, which by adoration, proclamation, and service, we become conformed to Christ. Talking this morning about the universal church, the church to whom we have all been baptized into. Regardless of the adjective in front of our names, what does it mean to be a citizen, a member, a baptized into the family of God? Through adoration and worship, through the proclamation of the gospel of Christ Jesus, and through our service in Christ's love. And in so doing, what does it mean to be conformed or to be transformed into the likeness of Christ? So our topic today is the universal church of whom we are all a part. On this rock I will build my church, Jesus says to Simon Peter. Now, historically, some of you may have come out of the Roman Catholic tradition, and the Roman Catholic tradition suggests that it is Peter, the person out of whom this rock is, the church is being built. In the particular Protestant realm of the universal church. It's our understanding, it's not the person, it's the confession itself. It is the confession out of which the church was born. And what is the confession? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Where there is no Christ, there is no church. You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Where there is no Christ, there is no church. Now, the Greek word is ekklesia, and it's been translated in many ways. It could be church, assembly, gathering, congregation, sometimes known as the body of Christ. And that's supposed to be community of believers. The ecclesia, the church, the gathering and the assembled of God. Now, I've looked and tried to find some modern day and current definitions of church. This is one I found in a book called Simply Christian. It's by N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is a bishop in the Anglican Church and is renowned as a very profound biblical scholar. And his brief little definition of church: the church is the single multi-ethnic family promised by the Creator God to Abraham. And he goes on to say, it was brought into being through Israel's Messiah, Jesus. It was energized by God's Spirit, and it was called to bring the transformative news of God's rescuing justice to the whole creation. Brought into being through Jesus, energized by the Spirit of God, and called to proclaim the transformative and transforming news of God's love and justice in the whole of creation. He has some images that he shares related to the church. One of the images is the church is like a mighty river with many tributaries running into it. And what he means by that is the river is the primary vein, and all the tributaries, the particulars of male, female, slave, free, all of the different varieties of humankind and enter into the great river, the church. Another image he used is the image of the tree, or the tree of life. Its roots go down deep from Judaism and from Jesus and from Jesus to the apostles. And from the apostles, there grows the one tree in its full bloom and blossoms with its multiple variations. Twists and turns and branches, and as history continues to unfold. A mighty tree. Or he also uses the image that Jesus uses in the Gospel of John, talking about my Father is the vine dresser, I am the vine, and you are the branches. We look at this image, and it's a wonderful image of the branches and the vines and the grapes. Each clump of grape is distinctive, individual unto itself, each individual grape distinct and individual unto itself, but they're all attached by a branch. It's attached to the vine of Christ. And the other image that we have is the body. The body has many members. The foot and the hand, the ear, the eye. All of the members of the body are unique and one of a kind, and yet all go to make the one body. And all a part of the one body are important, and all have a place, and all have value, and it takes all to make the whole, the body of Christ. Early on in the history of the church, back in 325, the church in its early days, decided it needed to have its first global ecumenical council. And so representatives from churches all over Africa and Europe and Asia Minor all gathered together in the city of Nicaea to talk about what it means to be the church. And out of that, they created what many of you may recall as the Nicene Creed. If you grew up in particular churches and traditions, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and others, you may be quite familiar with the Nicene Creed. One of the tenets of the Nicene Creed talks about the church, the one holy Catholic apostolic church, the one church, the one church. There is only one church that is the body of Christ, one church of Jesus Christ, and it is holy, set apart. It is set apart by the Holy Spirit to be a holy presence in this world. Now, for many of us in the Protestant tradition, this word is a problematic word, the word Catholic. But you notice that it's a little C. And we use it as its generic translation, which is universal. Catholic simply means it is a global entity. It's one, it's holy, it's set apart, it's universal, and it has a deep root in history. It is apostolic. It comes out of Jesus and the apostles, and the apostolic line continues to be the sap that runs through the fullness of the tree. One holy Catholic and apostolic church. This is an interesting. This is on the cover of a title of a book by a contemporary Christian author, Brian McLaurin. The book is called Generous Orthodoxy. And on the cover of this book, he explains who he is. And he says, why I am a missional, evangelical, post-Protestant, liberal, conservative, mystical, poetic, biblical, charismatic, contemplative, fundamentalist, Calvinist, Anabaptist, Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, green, incarnational, depressed yet hopeful, imminent, and unfinished Christian. Now, it would be kind of fun to take the time to go through each one of these, but we're not going to do that this morning. The idea is that the one holy apostolic church, Catholic apostolic church, is an incredible, various, diverse, wonderful collection of people. There are many studies about the nature and the models of churches, the church as an institution. That's kind of a cold kind of idea about the church. But the church definitely does have institutional type aspects of it in order to get things done. The church as a mystical communion, that somehow the Spirit permeates the life of the church, and there is this divine and incredible connection between humanity and God, connected by the Holy Spirit, and in that there is this mystical connection. Particularly we share it within the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, when we sense and experience the thin veil between that which is spiritual and that which is physical. The church as a sacramental gift to the world, and what that means for us to be bearers of the flame of Christ Jesus in this world as his body of grace and love and compassion in a world that needs it desperately. And the church that as a body proclaims the love and the truth, the life-giving love of Christ Jesus. The church that serves, gives of itself in selfless service to others. And then a church as a community of disciples. Any one of these fit for you? Any one of these close to how you understand yourself within the midst of a congregational life? Now, if you were to come to me and sit down and ask me this question, what does it mean to be part of the church? We would sit down together. I'd get out a piece of paper, and I'd start to doodle. And I would give you my explanation, which is this. First, I draw a circle. And then I'd say, the Bible says in the beginning of time, and if you want to put some kind of time frame on this, it could be way 4,000 some odd years ago, when a Bedouin Babylonian itinerant shepherd heard the word of God that said, come, follow me. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And Abraham responded. God said, Abram, I will be your God, you shall be my people, and out of this covenant relationship I will make for you many nations and many kings. And so Abraham responded, and he entered into the covenant of God. I will establish my covenant between me and you and all of your offspring after you. This will be an everlasting covenant. As this covenant grew and developed, and as Abraham made his journey from the Chaldees of ancient Babylon up to Asia Minor in Ur, God called him again and said, this is where I want you to go. And so he entered the land of Palestine. And from that, his family grew, from Isaac to Jacob. And from Jacob, there are 12 sons, and 12 sons become 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes end up in Egypt, and they become slaves in Egypt. And in the fullness of time, Moses arises within the covenant life of God. And God calls Moses to lead them out of slavery into the promised land. And God provides for them Torah law. And now the covenant has a centerpiece by which these people live. And so the covenant life of the Jews continues to grow and nurture, held together by the God and God's law. Now, as time goes on, those within the covenant life look outside the covenant, and they see somehow things look a little greener on the other side of the hill. And so there's temptations to break out of the covenant and start searching for other gods. They did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to walk according to his law. And so God raised up prophets to call them back. It's the role of the prophet. The role of the prophet is to call people back into right relationship with God. And so God rose up prophets to proclaim to them, return, get back in right relationship with God. But then in the fullness of time, at the right time, God's time, something happened. There was a light that was born in the covenant world of God. Born in the covenant, of the covenant, but of God. And this pure light grew and taught, loved and cared and healed, and proclaimed the incredible grace of God. The world killed him, and yet he rose. And something incredibly transformative happened. He said to the apostles, to his disciples on that last night before his crucifixion, here, take this cup, because what you're about to experience is a new covenant in my blood. A transformed covenant. So what happens out of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the apostles go forth into the world. And the covenant now is opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. at the incredible power of Pentecost, for the promise is for you, preaches Peter, and for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him. And now the doors of the covenant life of Christ Jesus are open, and all God calls into this life, the covenant life of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, as time goes on, human beings being human beings, tribal up. We have Presbyterian tribes, Episcopal tribes, Methodist tribes, Roman Catholic tribes, Greek Orthodox tribes, Church of Christ tribes, Disciples of Christ tribes. We've got tribes. Still within the covenant church of Christ Jesus. And what has happened in the reality of this is, unfortunately, some of the tribes kind of closed themselves off. Other tribes stay open, realizing and understanding that they are part of the church of Jesus Christ. I'm here to say that in the United Methodist Church, we understand ourselves to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why we honor all baptisms. Whether if you were baptized in a Roman Catholic Church, in a Greek Orthodox Church, in a Baptist Church, in a Presbyterian Church, in an Episcopal Church, your baptism is in the Church of Christ, of Jesus Christ, and we honor and accept your baptism. That is the reason why we have open communion. That everyone who is called of God to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we will not deny it. All are welcomed and all are invited to share the communion sacrament with us. For we understand ourselves to be part of Christ's universal church. When by adoration and proclamation and service, we all become conformed to Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.